You've arrived here at a critical moment. Tune in on real self-knowledge and creative power.
Welcome to the Well Fit with Lockie Stewart podcast. This show aims to help men improve themselves physically, mentally, and emotionally, covering topics of fitness, mindfulness, and spirituality.
Hey guys, so today we're here with Michael and Stuart. We got the same last name, which is brilliant, spelled the same way as well. And you guys are going to get an enormous amount of knowledge from this conversation, plus you're just going to be fucking pumped up. I'll blur about that swear word so all young kids can hear it. But Mikey and I met through Instagram, but then we caught it. Do you mind if I call you Mikey?
No, it's all good, man.
Caught up last week in his incredible story and just an insane mindset, and something he did over the weekend, which I'll let him share you guys, has inspired me to want to do the same thing. And just even hearing how his mindset has changed over the last week just from that experience is phenomenal. So those who really want to test your mindset and want to break boundaries, and I know a lot of people are going to relate to your story, especially the lads, from what you've gone to, because you're a performance coach as well. What would you call yourself?
I think performance coach is the best way.
Yeah.
Just working on the human performance and all the hacks as possible, really.
Yeah, mind and body. Because you've got some pretty impressive results for yourself and for clients. So rather than me taking up all the time to talk, pass it over to you and get some cool stories happening.
Yeah. Well, basically my whole journey started when my wife, now girlfriend at the time, needed a break in our relationship. And that was my, as I tell all my clients, we all have this 8 mile moment, and that was my 8 mile moment. I had this opportunity to step up or go the other way, and I really wanted her in my life. So that's how I started getting into the health industry. I did the first thing I hated, which was running. I found a hill, ran up it. Then I started, didn't want to go to a gym because the gym's where all the big guys live, all the beasts, and I actually didn't feel like I deserved to be in a place like that. Well, it was all intimidating, and I thought, you know, I'd be wasting space for them. So I did all my training in a carport, in my garage sort of thing. It was like, so I'd get up in the morning, it would be two or four in the morning to get up, and then I'd do anywhere from 2 to 3 hours of just hitting the rusted weights that I had. That to the point that weights got easy, so then I added chains and paint tins, you know, basically grab whatever I could that I could move to increase, and then I just train every morning. Then I found supersetting, and all this was just from reading men's health magazines.
Really?
And stuff, yeah, just men's health, and just taking stuff from there. 6 months down the track, I lost a lot of weight. Like, there was a massive fast transformation out of that, and all
how
my
much,
friends.
How much did you lose?
I don't know with that first 6 months, but I know I went down from a size 44 to a 36, 38 inch waist.
That's solid.
And then after that, my friends wanted me to help them with them. They're like, dude, can you train us? And I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I got to learn how to do it properly.
Yep.
That's what took me down into the PT route. Australian Institute of Fitness we're offering a special with PT and massage. So I was like, why not? Let's learn some more. And then after I completed all that, I suddenly found myself applying for a job at a studio, and been doing it for the last 6 years now. On the way, had my own little moments of being an arrogant PT, big jockey guy, to finding my true love, which was Spartan.
Yep.
And then just, I started finding that I wanted to question, because being in that industry, you get with the group, I was always told you had to do this way, you had to do that way. But no one would tell me why. Why is it just that way?
Yeah.
So I wanted to start questioning everything I would learn. So I started experimenting. I got into mobility because my mobility was terrible. And people were like, oh, you're just going to have to go that way. And I'm like, no, our bodies are designed to heal itself. So we must be able to fix ourselves some way. So that got me into mobility and stuff. And then as I found mobility was awesome, then I got into breath work and understand that because I'm asthmatic. And it's been 2 years since I've needed a puffer. And before that, I was actually a bronchitis asthmatic, where I'd have a machine at some point. And yeah, so, and that's just been my spiel, is now, I like to think of this, because I come from a country background, we were brought up on stories and our ability to heal ourselves instead of always going to medicine and doctors and stuff. So why not try and tap into some old world thinking that's now being considered new world?
I actually really love that. That's what I loved from our conversation last week when you were talking about all that healing yourself stuff, and we're definitely on the same page there. But it's the fact that you took responsibility and held yourself accountable to, rather than, you know, just be like, I'm not going to put the effort in to learn mobility, or I'm not going to, you know, spend X amount of months dropping the weight and getting fit and healthy again. Like most people just seek pills and quick fixes. You've done the work, and ultimately it's paid off in everything that you're doing. And that goes back to the thing you were saying before about the 8 mile moment. It's a fucking great analogy.
Yeah, well, I got it from John Wellborn. I follow a lot of his stuff. Yeah. And the way they approach it, I do sort of like those guys. Power athlete stuff. And he talks about, like, he had another one that I recently posted up was about how you've got to love the process and then everything becomes attainable. And that's what I mean. I enjoy everything I do about this stuff. And most of my clients are taking on that mindset too.
And that's very true. So going back to the 8 mile moment, like with your partner, before she was your wife, wanted a break, like this going back to a men's health point of view, like a lot of men, because we struggle to show vulnerability and emotions and talk about things, when we go through that moment, and I've broken up with women, and it happens to a lot of guys that I speak with, they're struggling because they're not getting the attention, they've been dumped. So what for you, when you had to swallow that pill, like what made you choose the proactive approach rather than, you know, it's definitely very easy to self-medicate and go a completely different way there?
That's the hardest part. I don't actually know. Like, I know exactly what I did.
Yep.
I literally took the shirt off, looked at myself in the mirror and said, you're a disgusting freak. How are you going to get her? She's now with a friend so she can go out and get anyone she wants. What's the reason for her to come back?
Yep.
And I know I approached it on the physical level, but it wasn't... I know after doing that, there was a lot more mental that came out of it with it. Like, because the whole, like, if you talk to any of my friends that knew me during that phase until now, they tell people I'm a completely different person. That guy was not thinking more than 5 minutes ahead, whereas now I'm planning 10 years in advance, and that there's drive and stuff. And the body is great, and I know my wife appreciates it, but I know she appreciates the drive now that everything's there. She knows everything's going for a reason, and I think that was the major thing. But yeah, for me, it was just, I think the way it came for me was because I grew up before all this, I was doing animation and games, so I always had a love for cartoons and the superheroes and stuff. And superheroes, they don't back down from a challenge, they step up. So that's why, and that's still my spiel today. Just I think of the animations I used to watch. I think of warriors and stuff, and like how a warrior doesn't fear the battlefield, but actually embraces it. That's the challenge of the one. That's how I feel. That's what got me there, and that's what still gets me through these days.
That's so wicked, man. That's actually really good. And when you told me that last week that you used to work in games and animation, I was shocked, because for those who check out my Instagram, Be Uncaged, but I'll put it in the show notes. He's a huge dude. Like, he's in like a built like a brick shit house. He's someone that I wouldn't want to mess with. But he almost looked like a Spartan warrior, to be fair.
That's my favorite part. Yeah. When I hear that stuff, like, I get that. That's the sort of the goal I want to be. I want to be the warrior.
Yeah.
In my community, that's my whole Uncaged. That's what we do in Uncaged, is teach people to be your own warrior and then be your own chief. So then you're influencing the people around you and you're telling your stories.
Yep.
In the end, we're a series of stories we want to tell, and it's always, everyone loves to have a great story.
100%. And one thing you said earlier as well, when you went through that, you know, you set that goal for the huge physical transformation, like wanted to change your body so that you could obviously win back your now wife and obviously feel more comfortable in yourself. You had that huge mental transformation as well, mental emotional transformation. Was that tough for you? Like, was there a lot of stuff you were challenged with or faced with along that process that made you feel like quitting potentially?
During it, no, not really. There was like, it's one of my, I remember getting up and it was winter, 3 in the morning, it was so freaking cold, and I'm doing deadlifts with chains on and breathing fog basically because it's that cold.
Yeah.
And I just remember loving that moment. Like, to me, it's still a drawback. Like, it's something I still try to get to this day, is have that same feeling of being in my garage, just lifting this weight and seeing yourself breathing basically fire because it's so cold.
Yeah.
That was never the hard part. I think it was more the fact that that was the easy part for me, being very being a very army country background, type one, just go for it sort of thing. I actually found the hardest part mentally was in the last year when I had this, when I started diving into more of the yin based stuff, you know, actually getting in touch with my feelings and being allowed to put that stuff out there and everything. That was the mental challenge I've had most, I reckon.
And what was it about that that you found to be the biggest challenge?
Being open, you know, like, I've always made sure I was the rock. To me, like, not that my parents were emotionally great people, but for me, I always, like, your emotions are, they're gonna weigh you down, so put them to the side and focus on the task at hand.
Yep.
Like, even when I went through this change with my girlfriend at the time, wife now, when we went through that first change, I was working at Dan Murphy's and they didn't know anything about it until 3 weeks in. And they're just like, oh, what's been happening? You've been working really hard. And then one of the boys says, oh yeah, his partner left him. They didn't know about it because to me it was like, the work comes first. Yeah. I still do that, but I've now learned that through journaling and all that and talking about it, it's actually more liberating to let that energy take its way, process through your body, and then put it out there so it's actually leaving the body. Like as Einstein says, energy cannot be destroyed, it can just be merely transformed and redirected. And that's what I believe is definitely happens with us internally as well.
It's so cool hearing you say that, especially because you dead set. And when you guys check out his Instagram, you'll see he looks like a warrior. So to be hearing you sharing that, like, about your emotional transformation, and you probably experience this with men that you coach as well, it's one of the most challenging walls to break down.
Yeah.
And it probably goes back to your cartoon here, is that you don't see Superman cry, I don't think.
No, not
anything that I've seen. It's like, they're all hard men.
Yeah.
And I think if a stereotype is to be that way, so it's not our fault we are that way, but it's our fault if we continue to be that way. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Especially in this day and age now where the feminine energy is so strong now, you've got women that are killing it in the gym and stuff like that. It's not unheard of to see a woman just being an absolute boss now. And I think with men, we still can be our caveman self, but we've also now got to allow that feminine energy to come in and go, because the whole turn of the new cycle and stuff like that, with the way everything's going, it's, you're either going to be left behind if you don't, sort of thing, and it could be a very lonely road then.
Yeah. So going back to, you didn't feel worthy to attend a gym. Yeah. A lot of dudes and females don't feel worthy to do certain stuff in their life. What was it for you that made you pivot rather than, because probably not the people who listen to this, but there are people that they may know that they can share this with, that sitting back in their life, and we all know people have untapped potential. But for the guy sitting at home who wants to come into the gym, for example, we're sitting in a gym right now, but to hold himself back, what was it for you that made you go, fuck it, I'm not comfortable now, I'm not worthy, but I'm going to be proactive and do something at home?
Well, it came back to my father, actually, because he was also the one that helped in this transformation. I called him up when I told him this, and he goes, I said, what do I do? Because he used to train back in the day. He used to be big in his army. He was in the army and all that, so he'd know what to do, you know. And he goes, that's where I still remember the day when he said, he goes, you live at the base of a hill, walk up it. When you get sick of walking, start running. And the next day I just skipped the walk part, went to the run. And through that drive, it was just, instead of looking for the excuses, I just thought what I could do to myself now. Like, I got into kettlebell works early and stuff like that, which was very interesting, because then when I went into PT, I'm teaching PTs how to do a Turkish get up because they've never done it. It's like, I was doing this in my garage.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys do this?
So there's always roundabout ways to do things, that's for sure. What, like, going from that career change, was it tough for you going from being in gaming and comics? Did you feel a challenge in confidence when you were having such a big career change? Because it was also a massive identity change for you as well.
Mm.
Or changing the identity?
So. No, not really. So what happened was there was a brief period. The games and comic stuff didn't last too long because we had that big change in Brisbane. So I was actually working in Dan Murphy's for a while. I was the beer tester.
Yeah.
It was good times. But no, it was sort of like when I made that change and I went, that was where the mind's shift happened as well. Like I went from Dan Murphy's being over at Springwood to Wynnum because they wanted a Stormman, and ended up doing that. And not only I had a really bad day one day that was like four guys were on and I did more work in my time on my own than what four guys did in the entire morning.
Yeah, right.
So I told the manager I've got to go. But that's where I could tell that some different change, because they even said, give me 2 weeks, then I'll come back for another 4 weeks and train the next guy up so he can take my spot. Well, that guy's now store manager over there, so I was like, sweet, I've done a good job there.
Yep.
And yeah, it was just funny when I went into the BT thing, because it was one of the easiest starts I ever did. I got in there, they gave me a book and said, okay, follow this out and you'll do well. I did everything in the book, I checked in with my superiors. And that it was get up in the morning, be in by 6 o'clock, get the morning prospecting out, do some training, do some lunch prospecting, do some training, afternoon prospecting, then go home until I had got myself 17 sessions in the first 2 weeks that were paid for. So that was, then it just started going from there and just kept going and ever since.
That's so good. And do you feel you're living your purpose now? Like, do you feel it? On purpose. So on the weekend we ran a men's mental health event, and one of the most common things that kept coming up throughout the day was like, how do I find my purpose, or how do I know what my purpose is? Like, do you feel that you're living yours now?
Now, yes. Like, I could definitely say recently wouldn't have been that clear at it, but like especially after the weekend I just had.
Yep.
Yeah, the purpose is just seems to be more than ever.
What's helped you get clear on it? Like, obviously you said even over the weekend, like, your purpose just doesn't rock up, does it?
No.
So what do you feel led you to finding your purpose?
I'd say it was the decluttering. Because even when we're trying to search for our purpose, we still got those little niggles in the back of our mind, or people that think we should be doing this or we should be doing that. Or
yeah.
Like, you know, as coaches and stuff, you know, it's like, oh, you need to put this out there or get that. And it's like, there's so much clutter with it all that you can sort of lose your purpose in the noise. And when I did my 12-hour event for myself, my purpose, like the next day when I had 12 hours of sleep afterwards, the purpose just was like a bullet. I just couldn't see any other way of how I wanted to do things and stuff. And I just know that everything I've done so far and the way, like even telling you my story now, it's just reassuring that this is my purpose, is to be targeting this way and teaching people about these sort of things rather than just how to shred and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Because, that's nailed it. Like, because I think a lot of people want the answer, but they don't want to do the work to find it. And I think your purpose, just like weight loss or just like any other goal we set, is a working process, and it's not always, you know, there's so many ways to lose weight, right? There's so many ways to gain muscle, but it's about finding the right one for you and learning what suits your lifestyle and works for you, and ultimately, like, going on purpose, you're going to try a heap of things, because at one point I'm sure you thought comic and all that sort of stuff was going to be your purpose. Like,
I went into university, did a bachelor of animation, that was originally going in there for a bachelor of visual arts because I wanted to be an artist.
Yep.
Then got into animation game instead.
It's
constantly evolving and constantly changing. And that was the same with the purpose. When I first started in PT, it was just a way to help people.
Yeah.
It wasn't no purpose except the helping of people.
Yeah.
You know, and then different ways I wanted to help people, until finally, when going back to it, I realized that it's the mental, it's the drive. Like, I always tell people, like, when they look at their goals, you've got to be able to say, can you see yourself doing this in 5 years? Because if you can't, there's no point doing it now.
And yep.
That's why, like they say, I tell people with some of my clients, I'm like, hey, congratulations, you're in the 99, you're in the 1% club. They're like, what do you mean? You have stuck to your goals for 5 years. People will lose the weight and put it back on in 5 years due to the fact that they only focus on the external and stuff like that. And yes, I did focus on the external to begin with, but
yep.
when I made that shift to the internal, that's how I know I've been able to keep it. And that's how I'm still to today. Like, yes, I still like to look good, and I like to, as you said, look like a Spartan. I love that. That is still my ego that enjoys that
yep.
part. But I also know for me, it's that battle. It's that pushing myself to finding my limits, because when I can find my limits, I know how far I can go. And I know how far I can help people
yep.
before I start compromising myself.
Yeah, yeah, that's so. It goes back to what you said before around where we fell in love with the process,
mm.
right? Not the result. The results happen because you're enjoying the daily grind. And like often you'll probably get results you never even expected to get from that. I think a lot of people, especially in the industry we're in, they want. Everyone comes to us because they want a result, which is fine, because you want to deliver results. But if we can educate them enough and get people aware around the things that they're doing daily, because it's, you look at people who are super strict all weekend and they just get on the piss and binge eat all weekend, and they're wondering why they're just maintaining or if not getting worse, right? Because they're not falling in love with the day-to-day process of an overall healthy person.
Yeah.
It's the same with, I guess, a happy person as well. So that's a working process as well. For you to get to where you are now hasn't just happened. Like, you didn't just wake up as a ripped Spartan dude knowing what his purpose is. You've been working at least for 6 years on that, right? So
yeah.
minimum. Mm. And you still, I assume you're not going to stop, right?
Oh, no. If anything, what I just do on the weekends, I've done more. But it's funny you talk about like the whole binging on the weekends sort of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of stuff I've been targeting with my clients, is why we do that as well. Like, because don't get me wrong, I still enjoy a weekend beer. I still, like, I even recommend beer for my clients.
Yep.
So, you know, if they're telling me they're going to go into Corona, I'm giving them burpees, and I say, hey, do a craft beer, because the reason is there's only about a 70 calorie difference, but because the craft beer is full, more fuller and stuff like that, you're going to consume less and eat less
yep.
than if you do the Corona, which is quite watery, and it's going to have you drink a lot more of them and actually consume more food.
Yep.
And that, but to me, it's also the balance of why you do that as well. Like, I told them about, if you're reaching for that beer because you had a stressful day, write down why you're having a stressful day, because a beer can be a celebration moment. We grew up in ancient times, it was times you'd sit down and have a big feast before you're about to go, if you won a battle or about
yep.
to go to battle, you know, Vikings getting out their mead and all that sort of stuff like that. And to me, that's what having a beer is for me, sitting down, I'm either sitting down having a great time with my wife, or I'm catching up with mates and with exchanging stories and stuff. And that's what food and all that sort of stuff can be used for. And when you approach it all like that, it makes it just a more enjoyable experience, rather than I've had a shit day, I just want a beer, you know, and trying to escape.
Yep. Yeah, when you said that to me last week, I was like, I need to take that on board, because there's a lot of, often the time for me is like food so rushed because I want to be doing something else. But when you go back to how you explained it just then, it is a time to connect again, right?
Yeah.
And celebrate the smallest of wins in the day. Like, it's, we don't often celebrate just doing our daily intentions or whatever it is that we need to get done, because often we're, like you said much earlier, wanting to achieve these great things because we're worried about how people view us if we don't achieve massive status, etc. Going on from the weekend, man, we were just chatting about this across the road, but you did some gnarly stuff on the weekend. I woke up the next day and was watching the Instagram stories, and I had the biggest grin on my face because we were speaking about it. I was so excited to hear, even now excited for everyone else to hear about how this felt on the mind and the body and what you did. So share with the people what you actually did and how the whole experience.
So I'm the Spartan in Bright. They have a 12-hour hurricane heat. Now this is 12 hours going from 5:30 p.m. till 5:30 a.m. basically pushing you physically. So for me, I want to make sure I can go above that, because I always believe in the quote that says, we never rise to the occasion, but we fall back to our training. And so to me, I always want to train more than I'm ever going to be, so that way I know I can always fall back to it. I can always have more confidence in myself. And so I came up with this 12-hour of my own, which was, I put the post out there to get some, I came up with a bunch of workouts myself, And then I put the post out there to try and get some friends to put in some workouts, and they put in some disgusting workouts.
As that dude.
Yeah, so I put all these in my phone, and then basically what I was going to start at 6:30 p.m. Friday night, and I wasn't going to finish till 6:30 a.m. on the Saturday morning. And yeah, so I was really looking forward to this. The guys, everyone that knew me at the gym, they were like, couldn't believe like how crazy I was, because I was really pumped up. Like, I was more pumped up for this than I am for my Spartan weekend. And so yeah, put them all in there, and I said, the first thing is the gym's 4Ks away. Okay, we're gonna run that, and you've got to do it in less than 35 minutes, or you're getting penalized with a 20 kilo backpack on.
Oh, yeah.
Did that, 32 minutes, so I was happy with that. And that's when it all began. Then I started going through my phone, and as you saw, I posted up every time I pressed the app what came up. First one came up was Kelsey. And that is 100 thrusters at 60 kilos with 5 burpees every minute on the minute till completed. Now, that's a hero workout. So I'm still keeping a sound mind, not being a complete idiot. I was like, no, this is a hero workout. They're designed to break you on their own,
yep.
Not in a 12-hour friggin' thing. So I scaled that one back to 50 kilos.
marginal.
And I did that, and the thing that made this really interesting was I was doing this in an iron barbell up at Underwood, and just a functional gym box. There was no music the entire time. I wasn't allowing myself any music. There was no one else there. So it was literally just me, four walls, and the sound of my own breath, the pain, whatever. So I get through that workout and I'm like, oh shit, that hurt. So, and that was one of my colleagues suggested for me, and I thank her for that, because it all leads up really cool in the end. Like, because then after that I had the next one, which was Arnie. Now Arnie's 21 Turkish get-ups, 50 kettlebell swings, 21 single arm overhead squats, 50 kettlebell swings. So you're basically swapping arms each time. So it was like 21 on one arm, then you do the kettlebell swings, then you do the, so I did the right first, then it'd be the left for the overhead squats, then I did the kettlebell swings, and then it'd be the right overhead squats for 21, kettlebell swings for 50, and then left Turkish get-ups. And that one was more mental. That was a lot of mental, because you know Turkish get-ups, you get up to the top and you're only halfway,
yeah.
And you come back down. So I scaled that again too, because that's supposed to be 32 kilos. I went back to 16, because again, it's a hero wad. It's designed to just put you in the hole, make you feel dead, and you're probably, that's it, you're recovering for,
yep,
the rest of the day. And again, that really just, that had me at the point, lying down on the ground, I'm just like, this is hard. This was really, really
hard. How far in was that?
It was like 3 hours in.
Far out.
So it's still early days.
Yeah,
you know?
9 hours left.
So I got that done, and I was really happy I got that, because overhead squats, my mobility, I've got two smashed ankles that are the reason I got into mobility. I'm lucky I can squat the depth I can at the moment with all my mobility. That's one of the good things about learning it.
Yep.
But yeah, overhead squats, single arm kettlebell overhead squats, that's mainly a mobility issue. So that was really good. And again, that was another one that was suggested by a friend. And then my next one was a 60 minute AMRAP. This was done by James. James Baden.
Sadistic man.
Yeah, it was good. Like, and what I love about it was, as the time went through, how it changed for me. So it was 60 minute AMRAP of one rope climb, two handstand push-ups, 3 burpees.
Oh,
now,
my goodness.
That sounds like a great workout on its own. Well, I like it anyway. But it was funny to see, like, with me, my rope climbs, I got them for days. I have no problem.
Yep.
Like, I'll jump up there and get up there quick as.
Yep.
Have no problem. I love them. Doing this, I found the point where I actually started being fearful of my gymnastic skills. So like around half an hour into this, my rope climb started getting a little scary. I'm getting up there and I'm just not feeling comfortable with it. I'm footing's going all over the place a bit. Like, it's starting to break down. It wasn't until the 40th minute when I was doing some handstand push-ups and I actually got a crack in my neck. I was like, oh shit. I was a little worried. So I said, no, we're going to quickly scale this. We're going to go to a strict pull-up, two strict ring dips, and burpees.
Yeah.
And then I kept doing that until I got to the 16-minute, checked it all out, went good, and to this day, I'm still feeling fine. So, but that was really cool just for me to see how far I could push my, because gymnastics has never been a good thing for me. I'm a 109 kilo dude doing gymnastics. Yeah. And I'm also really tall, so I've got long legs and long arms. And everything's not working in my favor. So that was really cool to see when that sort of broke down and when I just felt like I couldn't control it anymore. The best part about this was I was like, I'm talking to the universe and I'm saying, hey, you've got to give me my blind row. You've got to give me my 2-hour blind row. And stuff, because that's the one I wanted, and I was like, I've got to get this. I wanted it. I was looking forward to that. And then next, you know, tap on the phone, bang, I got it. And I was like, yes, it was awesome. So I set myself up on the rower, put the blindfold on, put the timer on my watch, and went bang, started, and just started rowing. Now this is rowing, can't see anything, and there's no sound, there's nothing. So I'm hearing the wind bash against the corrugated doors and all this sort of stuff. You know, there is no music, so there's nothing to take me away from this.
For those who don't get how painful that is, even just I'm thinking about it, go try and sit in a room by yourself now with no phone and blindfold yourself and just sit there. Even just for 5 minutes, it's not fun.
Yeah, so I was doing that. I started feeling my lower back tighten up, my hammy's starting to feel like crap. And then it started getting like dizzy because I'm not touching anything. My signal is wrong. I'm going back and forth. So of course there's no sense. My senses are just getting thrown out. And this was where it got a little funny because I was like, I remembered when I used to be a big pisshead. Oh, if I got the spins in bed after a big night drinking, just put your foot down on the floor to stop the room from spinning. So I stopped, put my foot down the floor, and I was like, oh, I actually feel better. So I was determined from this point on, I was like, I don't care how long it takes to do this. I just want to get this 2 hours without quitting. So I walked from one gym, side of the gym to the other blindfolded because I knew there was a skio up there.
Yep.
And then I was like, I can do a skio because my feet, it'll be interesting to see if I can do that. Even though you're going up and down still, my feet, I can have my feet flat on the floor and I can feel where I'm at. And so, yeah, I walked over there, staggered. Surprisingly didn't run into the rig. I was impressed with that. I was very happy with that. And yeah, then I got on the ski and I started skiing. Took the shoes off so then I could feel the ground better. And yeah, it was really cool because then I got to this point where I was feeling awesome. I was like, this is great. I'm actually loving this. I'm having a lot of time. And then it started to go dark again. It was like, oh, this has got to be done. And I still laugh about it, because think about it now. Like I'm thinking to myself, oh, I must have hit my watch and stopped, you know, I'm telling myself excuses.
All these
like,
stories.
Yeah, all the stuff, like just any reason to take off the blindfold and stuff like that. And yeah, I didn't. I was like getting to the point that I'm almost about to drop to my knees and row and stuff. I'm like, I'm not quitting. I want to keep doing this to the thing. And then finally I hear those magic, it was 2 hours. I was like, holy shit, that's been 2 hours. So took the blindfold off and as you saw in the video, that was probably one of my highlight points of the video. I was a lot more upbeat on that one. That was like amazing and just how much clearer everything felt. It just was really cool. Then after that, that's when I went and started going. It really went interesting because this is about 1-2 in the morning and that. And all I've had about 3 baby pouches, baby food pouches.
Yep.
And a drink of 600 ml BCEAs. So I haven't had a lot of food either.
No.
And then I go into what's called the Iron Triathlon, which is starting from reps from 1 to 20. You do 1 deadlift, 1 bench press, and 1 squat clean. and then you go 2-2-2, 3-3.
How was your back feeling at that stage?
Wasn't too bad after that. I think the ski loosened it up.
Yeah.
It was feeling all right.
If you just stayed on the road, do you reckon that would have been a bit of a...
Yeah, that would have been jacked up a lot worse.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I know my body was fried because so I've got a 250 kilo deadlift. I can do 160 for 20 reps.
Yeah.
And that 80 kilos, that first one felt like a 1 RM. I was like, oh shit, this is going to be long. And then again, like when I got to round, I think it was 7-10 of that one, I was starting to get worried about my bench press because I'm pressing this 50 kilo bench press, which isn't that heavy for me normally, but I'm not feeling my muscles contract. I see the bar coming down, I see it slowly moving up, but I was starting to not feel the contractions happen. So again, I was like, okay, I'm gonna aim to at least get 10, because then it's like a reverse Linda and that. I just knew I would not be, safe otherwise to go further than that, because even that 10th one was like, my arms were shaking, the whole muscle spindles like making my muscles flicker and everything, but I cannot actually feel it happening. I'm just seeing it, so I'm like, crap, this is getting really scary.
Jeez.
After that, I got the final workout piece was the 5K run in shuttles.
What's a 10-meter
shuttles? 10-meter shuttles.
Oh.
So I started that, and when I first started, I couldn't run. It was like a shuffle. It was like a slow walk shuffle. Started the speed up a bit, so I started getting the pace, so it was like the body started to realize we're gonna do something. But it wasn't until we got to the 2.5K mark that I was like, my legs were just gone. There was nothing, the body was just, and that I couldn't like, I was like, oh, I could stop there and then go on a set over. And I knew all the other workouts were bodyweight stuff, like ring, even if I went to ring rows or something, I knew I could not physically get a ring row out because my body was just shot. So, and I, this now I'm looking at like 2.5-3 hours left in the day, left in the session. So I was like, we're going to see this through. So I went to, I knew the final thing I had to do, I just filled everything back up in the backpack. So I was back to the 20 kilo form, threw it on my bag, and we were just gonna march for 3 hours. Watch the sun come up and keep walking, don't stop until that 6:30 came around.
How was that alone, 3 hours of marching with a backpack on?
Well, it was interesting to see how messed up my legs were. Like, there was a couple times I was like staggering, like you would have thought, if you saw me on the street, you probably thought I was drunk. Or there was a few times the knees just buckled and I felt myself like just falling. Like,
wow.
I've had buckled knees before, but this was like regular, like,
yeah,
holy hell, but I might not be walking. And then I got home at 6:30, and then I just had to stay awake till, because I had a session at 11 with a client.
That is ridiculous that you still, when you told me that before, that you still did that, I was like, man, I would have been straight to bed for sure.
Yeah, I originally was thinking that, but no, I sort of wanted that whole idea, like I've just done something like this, but I still want to be able to have some semblance of performance. Because originally this was all for Spartan, which would have been 7K run, 14K run on a Saturday, 12 hour that night, and then 21 the next day. So I sort of needed the push on anyway.
That's very true. So what happened when you finished it? Obviously after the client, and what next?
I went back home and had the celebratory beers. No, but I had my fridge because, mate, doing all that, if I had known a beer then, I don't know what.
Exactly.
Don't know what I'd have to do to have a beer otherwise. made myself a pizza, and then next year it was like 3 PM, and I'm practically passing out on the couch, and my wife's like, come on, go to bed. Went to bed, woke up 3 AM the next day. Feel amazing.
So you were up at 3 AM yesterday?
I always get up at 3 AM. To me, that's, I like to get up, see the sunrise, but it's time when I can just have for myself. It's the only time, and I teach this with my clients, it's like, no matter what the day's got ahead, you can always control your mornings. You can control what you're gonna get done, and if you want something done, you're best off doing it first thing in the morning, because we never know what the day is. Even the stuff I've structured today could change, and I might have to be somewhere else, or something happens that I did not see come.
Yeah.
So, but the one thing I can control is what time I get myself out of bed, and what my first hour of the day is.
100%. I'm a massive believer in that as well. I don't get up at 3 AM, but I get up earlier just so I can sort of control that morning. But yeah, you're definitely right there. If the day changes, like if you've really got important stuff for you, the selfish, I look at it as selfish stuff, like this stuff for you to grow and develop, and it doesn't matter how the rest of the day goes, you just pivot with it. So what next for you?
Well, it was interesting, as I was telling you before, originally all this was for the big bright trifecta weekend.
Yep.
But the shift that I had doing this thing has actually changed what I want to do. So going down to Bright, as I said, it's going to cost about $1,000 for gear and all that stuff as well, accommodations. And currently me and my wife want to move to the Gold Coast. And I haven't been in Brisbane for long enough, we want to change it up. And I actually felt on Sunday morning when I woke up, that's where I found my mind shift for everything that I've recently gone through.
Yep.
This was, I felt selfish because here's a beautiful woman that's allowing me to go do 12 hours of craziness. Not many people have partners that say, yeah, go do a 12 overnight, a crazy frigging 12 hour kill yourself session.
Yeah.
And that, and actually trust for me to return. You know, some people be like, you got safety precautions?
Yeah.
She's like, nah, she knows it's me. She knows that. And so I felt really selfish about trying to take $1,000 for one weekend when we're trying to move. But then I also realized that one thing that was really enjoyable about this 12 hours was it was solely for me. There was no medal at the end of it. There was at least a beer, but that's because I had the beers in the fridge.
Yeah.
For that. But there was no energy off anyone else I had to feed off. That it was solely 100% all me. There was nothing that can be taken away that I didn't do it, you know? And so I sort of want to push that. I want to come up with my own weekend before the end of the year and see how far I can push that sort of style of training. Like, I don't want to do an event of my own and have people join me. I literally just want to go out, do 21 one day, an all-nighter, then 21 the next day in my own sort of way, and see what comes from that. So just for me, like, Spartan's always going to be there. I love Spartan. I do some work with them as with the hurricane heats and everything, and I plan next year crush a lot of them. But yeah, for now I really want to see how far I can push me without any of the something to post at the end of it, like, yeah, I completed this, here's my trophy and stuff.
Yep.
The only thing I'm going to have at the end of these experiences is the memories and the stories to tell. So
yeah,
that's what I want to see, how far I can push before the end of the year.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah, I look forward to watching that on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just like the sadistic stuff that you come up with, or if you're going to open it up for people to give you events again or workouts.
Probably will, you know. As I said, like, it's always good. Like, I know I can program some disgusting
yeah.
stuff for myself. That Blind Row was especially one. That
yep.
was, I enjoyed that. But yeah, no, I always like to see how other people think, what they reckon I can do, or what
yeah.
they reckon would push me and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're coming to the end now. So one thing I'd love to sort of hear, like, you've completely changed your life, especially over the last sort of 6-7 years. There's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that I know that feel stuck. Like, what would be a piece of advice for them to get them moving forward in whatever direction it is they want to go? Just get moving.
Write it out. Best thing I can say is, don't type it in your phone or on a computer. Literally just write it with pen and paper. Because when you do that, you're then telling yourself, you can see what you want for it. And that's the best way you're going to start, is because you're actually looking at what your goals are. You're not internally thinking about them. When the energy of your thoughts is literally just energy signals going through your brain.
Yep.
But when you put them to an action, which is the first step, writing it out is a simple action that can take that first step into what is your 1,000-step journey.
Yeah, that's very true. I've got all my stuff written down on my desk as well, which is powerful. So where can everyone find you?
So they can find me on Instagram, Be Uncaged. Website is uncaged.live, Matt, or I can, yeah, or Facebook, Mick Stewart.
Yep.
S-T-U-A-R-T, you know.
The best way to spell it.
And as I said, I encourage anyone, if they want to just reach out, have a chat with me, I'm always happy to help. I got into this industry just because I want to help people, and that's what I've still been doing to this day.
Mate, you're doing some inspiring things. Like, I've read through a lot of your stuff on Instagram, and you even had me hooked just watching on the weekend. I was only getting to see snippets. I was like,
yeah, I got the videos and all of them done and fast, so we're putting all that together this week.
I can't wait to see it, because it was inspiring. Just know, like, for me, you just opened a whole window of, would it be opportunity or potential? Like, to know that it's possible, you've already done it, so there's no reason why I can't do it now as well.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people listening to this, like, when they check out your video and stuff, they're like, this guy's crazy, but I want to try something like that.
Well, as I tell people, if you ever knew the old me, I'm a perfect example of anything can be possible. Like, I mean, anything. People think I'm smarter now. High school, I just graduated, all that sort of stuff. It's all possible. You just, the first step is always, you just got to make that first step.
Thanks so much for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Awesome.
We'll definitely have you back on after you've done your next sadistic
So it should be in about December. I'm going to try and finish the year off strong with it.
Yeah, so jump over to all his socials, guys, and follow him and keep an eye out for that wicked weekend. It's going to be awesome. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.